Well, as I said, it's great to have spent some extended time really looking at and considering missions this morning. And as I said, I don't want to add a whole lot to that, but I do believe we need to go to the Word of God, and so I'll do that briefly. It's been good, like I said, to spend some time looking at the missionaries, praying for them. And I want us to look at what is often referred to as the Great Commission. I'm going to give you very quickly six things to know about the Great Commission, and they are going to be, Lord willing, fairly quick. But turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, probably the most well-known verse regarding this, what was called the Great Commission. And really the Great Commission is this idea of what we've been looking at, missions going out into the world, establishing churches. We're going to look a little bit about that this morning. And so I want to give us a little bit of an insight to that. And of course, this is not the only verse that refers to this. We find that there's Mark chapter 16, Acts chapter 1, even some would say John chapter 20, 21. It talks about, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And says to Peter, feed my sheep, those things as well. And this is really what God has commanded us in this church age to do, is to fulfill the Great Commission. We're going to find out a little bit about that this morning, and maybe something surprising, because when you read this passage, often what you hear emphasized is one particular aspect where the language itself emphasizes something quite different. So hopefully you'll learn something from this morning, as I said just very quickly. Let's go to this passage, Matthew chapter 28, read verses 18 through 20. It'll be up on your screen, or you can read it in the Bible. Very familiar passage. Comes at the end, just before Jesus ascends into heaven. This is kind of his last command that he gives to his disciples, particularly to the 12, the 11 that are with him. Judas is not there, of course, his main disciples. So let's read what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, we just pray that today, as we take a few moments to look into your word, that you'd remind us, Lord, of this great commission, of the plan that you've had all throughout eternity, Lord, to take the good news of salvation to the world around, but more importantly, to establish your churches, to establish churches, and to build up people in the body of the Christ till we await your return. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few things I just want to point out to you with this. Like I said, very familiar passage, often preached at missions conferences and things that we understand. But I'm just going to, like I said, touch on each of these very briefly. I could spend a lot more time on them. But the first thing to understand about the Great Commission is that it was always God's intention. Now, we come to the end of Matthew. We find this time when Jesus is sending out. He's going to send out the 12, and he's going to establish this mission of the church. But, you know, it was always God's intention that the world would know about the message of salvation, and not only the message of salvation, that they would be drawn to him and that they would understand the word of God and grow in him. That's what we're going to see with this as well. Back in Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, he called Abraham he says, I'm going to establish a seed and a nation through you, and through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. We've heard that several times recently in some of the messages. You know, all the nations of the world will be blessed through the nation of Israel, but ultimately through Jesus Christ, the Jew, who came, Jesus, God the Son, came into this world through the line of Israel, lived his life, laid down his life in our place, the good news of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again, and from that would bless the whole world. And so that is, while it came through the physical nation of Israel, for us today, we are not physical descendants of Abraham, but we are told in Galatians 3:7, know that they are which of faith, the same are children of Abraham. We are spiritual children of Abraham, and so therefore we experience that blessing as well, the blessing by faith. You know, and so it began in that time, but when Jesus is talking to these disciples, he's now saying this is going to be through a new entity. You know, Jesus came to the nation of Israel, he came to his own received him not, and then Jesus said In Matthew 16:18, he said, he introduced this new entity. He said, I say unto thee, Peter, he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the profession of Jesus being the Christ, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ says, I will build my church. First time we see the mention of the church in the New Testament there. And this is something he says, I will establish this new entity, this new body of people called the church, made up of Jew and Gentile, people from all over the world. I will call them out. You know, the idea of church is ecclesia and a called out assembly, calling them out of the world, calling them to gather together as my people, and that they would take, again, this would be the way in which he would establish, again, his the gospel and it going out throughout the world. And this great commission involves the church. Now, it's interesting today because all of these missionaries we've seen have come out of local churches. You know, they haven't just said, well, I'm going to go and be a missionary. I think I'm going to do this. They've all been come out of and established and supported by local churches. And that really comes to the second part I want us to understand is that Jesus, the Great Commission is grounded in the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ gives the authority and the power. It says all power, that word power means authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so what we understand is that this Great Commission isn't something we just go and do on our own strength. You know, you don't just say, I think I'm going to do this. You know, it's as you hear even this new missionary that's going out, he says, the Lord confirmed it, led him in his life to go out to share the good news. This is done in the power and complete dependence upon Jesus Christ. He gives the authority as God, and it says all the power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. And so we obey his call to go, and we rely completely on him. It's not something that's just been thought up by man to do, the Great Commission. The third thing I want us to see is that it involves every believer. Now, when Jesus says here, you'll notice it says, all power, all authority is given to me on heaven and earth. And he said, it says, he spoke to them. Who are the them? In this case, it was specifically to the apostles, the 11 at that stage, right? And he's actually speaking to them. Now, some people say, well, the Great Commission was just for them. And they're the ones that are supposed to go into all the world. We don't have to do that. Well, it was initially given to them. He spoke to them and he gave them this command about the Great Commission. But the very command he gives in the Great Commission says, teach them to do what I commanded you. So the idea is it's to replicate, it's going to continue on, it's to continue to go. So even though it directly involved and specifically them, what we find after that is that it then is directly and specifically to the apostles, indirectly it's through each of us. And then for you today, either it will be either directly as someone who is a teacher, a pastor, a missionary, someone that's going out, or indirectly as someone who serves in a church, who gives, who prays, who obeys. So the thing is, it involves every believer. To say that, you know, well, that Great Commission is for those missionaries or those people. No, maybe it's not, you know, all of us are, understand, all of us are to share the good news of the gospel. But as we'll see in a moment, there's more to just sharing the good news of the gospel in this Great Commission. What we find, however, is that each of us can be involved in it. And so whether you're involved, as I, you know, I get up and I preach, or whether we go out and we do things as a missionary, we share the good news in that sense. But specifically also, indirectly, we do that through prayer, through, you know, through serving in our local church and helping, and then also through giving. And so each of those things are vitally important as well. So don't just think, oh, well, all I can do is pray and all I can give. No, that's part of what God uses in this Great Commission as well. Fourth thing is that it's centered around a single command. And this is the thing that you might find a little bit, you go, I've never heard that before. When you look at what it says here, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a command in there. Now, a lot of people say the command is go. You're to go. You're to go into all the world. And we often will celebrate, you know, this is what missions is about. It's about, the Great Commission is about going out and doing all these things. Actually, in the original language, that's not the command. The word go means as you are going. It's assuming already you're going out through life. It's not necessarily going to a foreign country. It can involve that. But it says, as you are going out into the world, as you're going out and you're living life, and you are functioning in this world, what is the command? Teach, make disciples, actually is the original. Make disciples of all nations. And so the command is actually that we are to make disciples of all nations. And we do that as we're going out. So sometimes that involves going to another country, as some of these missionaries do. Sometimes it's just being in your local area. But all of it involves as we're going about, as you go through life, it says, make disciples of all nations. And so that's the interesting. Now, why does he say make disciples or teach, and the word is in the Greek, make disciples? Why does he say that and not preach the gospel, get converts? Well, in some of the others, he mentions preaching the gospel. In Mark 16, he mentions that. But there's more to, or do evangelism, you know, those sorts of things. Now, evangelism is important. Preaching the gospel is vital. They can't hear without a preacher. But here's the thing. Evangelism, going out and preaching the gospel, doesn't always result in believers. You and I know that because we've tried to share the gospel with people and people have gone like, I don't believe you. Right? So if that was all we were to do, it's just like, okay, we share the gospel, you believe it, you don't believe it, okay, you believe, fine, that's, you know, that's how it works. But that doesn't bring about making disciples, you know. Sometimes you find that a lot of evangelism is focused on getting decisions. How many people do we get saved? How many people do we get to, you know, to pray a prayer, to walk an aisle, to do these things? We got so many. Now, you know, it's great when we see like the Bubbias and that, and they say people get saved. But I know with the Bubbias, those people are also, they will be discipling them as well. So they're not. But there are some times where people go, and you know, you can convince people sometimes. You can go around and knock on a door, and it's, I'm not against the fact that you might want to, people will knock on doors, but sometimes you can get people to make a decision just to get you to go away. And that's one of the things. So Jesus is saying, yes, you know, obviously evangelism is part of the way you do that. Preaching the gospel is part of the way you do that. But he's saying, but the real great commission is make disciples. What's a disciple? Well, a disciple is one that is someone that sits under, that teaches, that learns, that follows another. And so what he's saying is don't just make decisions, make disciples, make people that follow, people that learn, people that understand. And you notice here that he says that in this command, he says that the command is to make disciples. The direction that you do that is all nations, everywhere in the world. That means Bass Coast, Inverloch, all these different things. It means South Gippsland. It means Australia, Victoria. It also means other countries. And we see these missionaries that have gone to other countries. You know, we came down here from Melbourne to Wonthaggi, to the Bass Coast, because I believe that God was leading us to come here to do the Great Commission, I guess, to make disciples. And, you know, we're here today because someone along the way has said, you're not just said, well, here's a gospel tract, read it, and we get saved. Great, you're done, find the next one. No, I want to teach you, I want to make you a disciple. And so the thing that we find here is that it's the command is to make disciples of all nations, and then we're told how that happens. There's two aspects that are involved in doing that. Now, there's a lot of methodology we can have, look at in church planning and church building, and people have all these different seminars and stuff like that. But quite simply here, there are two things that are mentioned. It says, teach all nations, make disciples of all nations. How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe whatever things I've commanded you. Two aspects here, baptizing and teaching. And you go, now, why is baptizing here? Well, baptism doesn't save you, right? We understand that. I think I've taught that here. You know, your baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Well, why is it saying baptizing here? Because what it's saying is when you're going out to make disciples, you're preaching the gospel, it's assuming that some of those people will trust in Christ, that they will understand the truth of the gospel. But one of the ways that they understand that better is through the object lesson of baptism. You know, as I said earlier this year, there's a lot of confusion about baptism and what baptism is, but baptism essentially is an object lesson. It's a physical act where someone is immersed into water and taken out of the water. That's baptism, means to place into, and it comes out. And really, it was designed to teach. It was designed to teach some sort of a something that we don't kind of understand fully ourselves until we look at the scriptures and we understand what has taken place when we trust in Christ. And that is that we are identified with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. When we place our faith and trust in Christ, when we understand that he died for us, he died in our place, it says that the scriptures remind us, is like Galatians 2:20 tells us, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I died to my old self, and now I'm a new creature in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a good reminding us that baptism is a picture. And really, it's teaching us something. It's that we would learn something from it. So he's saying one of the ways in which you make disciples is help them to first understand what has taken place in their life through salvation, right? Through trusting in Christ. So these things are assuming that someone has heard the good news of the gospel. They've said, yes, I can't save myself. I need Jesus to save me. But the Great Commission is now take them and mature them in these things. And so the first is baptism, as we said there, and it reminds us of positionally what's happened to us. The moment we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are born again, dead to the old man, alive in Christ. That's what it tells us, and baptism shows us. And then the second part there is teaching. It says to teach them whatsoever things, to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. Now, this teaching is training from the scriptures. You know, we preach, we proclaim the gospel. When we do that, we proclaim truth of the word, but we teach as well. And teaching is really, is here, is a vitally important part of the Great Commission. And so when people go out into the world, it's not just say, okay, let's see how many people would get saved. You know, they got their ticket to heaven, forget them. No, we then take them and we nurture them and we teach them and we disciple them. And it is done, this is done in the context of a local church. You know, people often think about discipleship and they think about small groups and all these sort of things and stuff like that. But actually, the Bible teaches that this is the function of a local church. So local churches are to, you know, as it says, preaching is focusing on the gospel and announcing the gospel. Teaching is explaining the gospel, explaining the word of God. And you know, there's much more than just the good news of salvation, as good as it is in this Bible. Yes, there's a lot that we can learn. And you know, in our church, we spend a lot of time teaching through and helping you to grow and mature in the Word of God. And that's exactly what the Great Commission is involved. You could say, in essence, the Great Commission is about not just about getting people saved. It's about planting churches. It's about actually establishing, you know, this. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he says, I will do that through you, through this Great Commission, through your obedience and trusting in me. And I've given you the authority to do that. And he says, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. It's going to continue. Now, you know, as we see with all of this, the focus is on the making the disciples, the teaching and training. And while God wants all people to be saved, the focus isn't actually on numbers of people. You know, we need to have mega churches and lots of people. It's great when a lot of people come to Christ. And in the early days of Acts, you see that. But, you know, these missionaries that are in different parts of the world, a lot of them small churches, but they have faithfully trained up people, some of them over decades. And one of the things we're reminded is they're fulfilling the Great Commission. Number five, this Great Commission is to be continued to each generation. We're told here that teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. So Jesus says, I have truth. I've got this truth, the truth that's given through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, the commands of Christ. And there are many things, other things that Jesus told us. The end of John tells us that all the different things that Jesus did and taught, you know, as not just in the gospel message. And the gospel message is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again. That's the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. But then there's a whole lot more that we want to learn about what that salvation means to us, what it means and all of the how we are to live in results and response to all of that. And that is what the teaching is involved in. That is the bulk of the Great Commission. So I you know, maybe this is challenging your thinking for us. Great Commission isn't just about getting people saved. It's actually about maturing people. You know, in Ephesians 4, we're told this. It says that he gave some apostles and some prophets. They were for the foundation of the church. foundation's been laid. And then today we have evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the body of Christ. What's the goal? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until we come to the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians 1 puts it this way, teach whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in wisdom, that they may present every man perfect or mature in Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is about actually building up people and maturing people in the faith to become more like Jesus Christ. And the work of the missionary means that that's not just a one-off thing. That's something that, as we see, as people have poured their lives into and much of their life into as well. Well, finally, I just want to finish up with this morning, because I said I'd keep it short. The Great Commission will have its completion. The very last verse he says here, he says, "Lo, I'm with you always," an encouragement. You know, as you're doing this, I'm present with you. It isn't like, go build my church and I'll come back when it's done. No, I am with you. I will build my church. You will help me build my church. That's what Jesus says. But then he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. In some translations, it says the end of the age. This is not talking about the end of time. It's actually talking about the end of the church age. There will be, in this period of time, God is working through the church. A body of believers called out, Jew and Gentile. And God says, there will be a point of time when the church is finished, the church is built. I will build my church. He's laid the foundation. As I said, we don't have apostles and prophets today. Foundation's been laid. We're laying on all the rest of it. And you know, 2,000 years on, we're about putting the shingles on the roof. We're almost done. And Jesus is about to come back. And it will come to its completion. And yet, thankfully, we have people that are still planting new churches today, because why? God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance and salvation in him. So even in these last hours of these last days, as we feel that it may well be, God is still using people to fulfill the Great Commission. But it will be finished, and it will be finished soon. And when that last person has come to Christ, that God says, okay, that's the church, then the church is out of here. We're to be with him. And then we enter a whole new realm, a realm of the tribulation period, which involves the kingdom again, involves Israel again, and it's different from the church age. And we've been looking at that in Revelation. We'll look at that more in coming weeks. But, you know, we have a wonderful privilege to be part of this church age, to be part of this commission. And the wonderful thing is that, you know, we have the promise that Jesus is with us, and it will come to a completion as well. So whatever we can do to help that Great Commission, whether it be participating through actually going out, you know, even giving out a gospel tract, that's still part of the Great Commission, you know, there's all these things. But praying for missionaries, helping missionaries, some even going as missionaries, anything we can do to help fulfill that, we'll do in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we'll do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for our time together this morning. I thank you that we've had a great time really considering the work of missions, considering this great commission, this command that you've given us. And I pray that as we are reminded, Lord, of the command to make disciples, Lord, I pray that as a church that we'd be faithful in continuing to do that. Lord, I thank you that each of us have been built up by others, as particularly in the context of our local church, as we've been taught from your word. Lord, we want to be a church that's faithful to teaching your word. I know today so many people focus on entertainment and experience, but Lord, I pray that we would never go that way. Lord, that we would be really focused on faithfully maturing and teaching and proclaiming your word to this lost and dying world. We thank you for the missionaries we've been able to think about, to pray for, to reflect upon today. We thank you that you've given us, you've laid these people on our hearts, and that you've also laid on their hearts the lost of the world. And we pray that you continue to help them, bless them, protect them. The ones that are going out, Lord, help them as they go out. The ones that are coming back, Lord, bless them as they come home as well. Lord, we just pray and ask for your blessing as we go our way in Jesus' name. Amen.